Morning. Good morning, Catalyst family. Good to have you. You know, we are a remnant today, but the Bible talks a lot about remnants, that God always preserves and prepares a remnant to be blessed by the Lord. And it's not just so the remnant gets blessed, it's the remnant receives God's blessing for the whole body, for the whole church family. So I just feel led, I felt prompted by the Spirit. You as a remnant, can you stand, if you're able to, can you stand right here, right now? If you can't stand, you're okay. You can just stay seated. I felt like the Lord wanted me to release a special blessing on you as the remnant that is here today, okay? So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek the Lord and speak what the Lord wants to say. The Lord wants you to know that He is blessed and honored and so glad by your presence here today. You made a choice to come to worship and honor Him. And He sees your heart, and He sees the longing of your heart. And He sends His Spirit now to release special blessing, special covering, special provision that you would see and know and experience your Father in a special way on behalf of your family and this family. So may you feel blessed and honored, and know the Lord is so pleased by your presence here today. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Thanks, everyone. There's a song entitled Waymaker. We sing it occasionally. But in the bridge of the song Waymaker, the lyrics say this: even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. It speaks about no matter what circumstances are going on, no matter what is happening, even when things seem uncertain and dark and chaotic and confusing, the Lord is continuing to move and continuing to work. In fact, sometimes when it seems the darkest, sometimes when it seems the most hopeless, that's when God is doing His most powerful and significant things. Just think about Jesus in the tomb. That's all you need to know. God was doing His most powerful, eternal, significant thing when all seemed done, hopeless, dark, gloomy. The enemy, Satan, had won. He was doing His best and most powerful work. And so we've all been through crazy stuff, right, over these last couple years. And maybe you're going through some challenging things. That doesn't mean God's not working. In fact, maybe God is doing His most significant work in you right now. So what is God doing right now? What is God doing? What is He up to? How is He moving? How is He working? And what does He want for Catalyst, our Catalyst family, in 2022? You know, I've always felt this is something 24/7 that I carry as the senior pastor of Catalyst. I've always felt my most important responsibility, my highest responsibility, was not to set the agenda of Catalyst, but it was to discern, along with others, to discern what is God doing, and to help align our church, to position our church and align our church so we're aligned with what God is doing and move with Him in what He's doing. I don't surf. I've never surfed. But I've talked to surfers in our church family, right? Brandon Saito, Brian Ochi, Mike Gonzalez. And as I've talked to them about their surfing experience, quite often, in fact, I feel like that's a great analogy of how God wants us to live. That's a great analogy of how we're supposed to move as a church. Because when they're surfing, they're just waiting. And they're looking out on the ocean and trying to see where the swell is coming. Try to anticipate where the wave is coming. And then they try to position themselves so that they could catch the wave. Is this right, Darren? Darren's a surfer. That's right, Darren, right? Okay. To position yourself so you could catch the wave. And then when the wave starts building and coming, you have to do your part. You have to paddle as hard as you can to catch the wave. But once you catch the wave, then it's all the wave. You are just riding the wave. And the wave, of course, is the move of God. We don't try to create the wave ourselves. We want to catch what wave God is moving and how God is moving and catch His wave. We have to work, but position ourselves to catch His wave so we can ride with the Lord in what He is doing. Today I'm going to talk about how we've been discerning the last several months, even the last half year, what God is doing and what God wants to do in our church and how He's moving. So I'm going to talk about that, and today it's going to revolve around three words I felt like the Lord gave me and gave us, right, for 2022. So this is a vision 2022. Usually I give this the first Sunday of the year, but I was out, so it's coming now. So get ready. This is vision 2022 for Catalyst, and it's three words. The first word, prepare. Prepare. This is very clear that I felt like the Lord had been speaking to me pretty much all of last year. He was saying, strengthen the faith of my family at Catalyst so they could face whatever comes. And I felt like, you know, there's been a lot of talk about mandates these days. I felt like this was a mandate for me as a senior pastor for the church. It was build up the faith. As I've shared this before, because through this whole last couple of years and just the choices people have made, different things, different reactions I've seen, I thought, boy, if we're reacting like this in this pandemic, if we begin to see, which I think it's coming, I don't know when it's coming, when we begin to see the birth pangs of Matthew 24 and 25, Revelation, those things start to come, what are we going to do when those things happen? Because in all honesty, what we're going through now in comparison to that, it's nothing. Literally, it's minuscule compared to what the Bible tells us will happen in the last days. And so I feel like the Lord said, prepare your people. And this goes along with one of the vision statements of our church. It is, we see Jesus leading His people to confidently follow Him and obey His word amidst a worldly culture. So that means whatever the world, whatever the culture, whatever society is doing, is happening, whatever the God of this world, who is who? Satan, the God of this world. Whatever He's authoring, whatever schemes and strategies He's putting into effect, Jesus will lead our people, us, to continue to follow and obey Him no matter what. No matter what. Now, Paul sends his last letter to his spiritual son, Timothy, and he gives him, like, final pep talk, final instructions, pours out his heart to his spiritual son because he knows he's on his last legs, the end of his time. And he gives Timothy some instructions on how to prepare, how to strengthen his faith. And it revolves around, it's really interesting, it revolves around three different pictures. Okay, so let's look at this. Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. This is, again, Paul writing to Timothy, "Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor." So Paul identifies three types that will help encourage us and help guide us in how to prepare. It's a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. For the soldier, he says, you need to endure. That's a theme throughout the Bible again and again and again. Stay faithful till the end. Endure till the end. Carry your cross till the end. Because it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And it's enduring till the end. Build up your faith. Have the mindset that I am not going to quit. I am not going to turn away. I am never going to fall away. I am not going to renounce Jesus Christ ever. I'm going through till the end. Endure to the end. And then another thing for soldier, he says, focus. Don't get caught up in the daily affairs. It's so easy these days when we see so much happening to get caught up in daily affairs, in things that in the end aren't going to matter. They're temporary. They're temporal. They're passing. They're, like the Bible says, like a vapor. Don't try to grasp onto vapor. You know how hard it is to grasp onto vapor? Ever try to catch smoke? Very difficult. You're not going to be able to do it. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to be caught up in something that's not going to give lasting, eternal value. So he says, soldiers, don't get caught up in daily affairs. They're focused. Why? Because they're loyal to their boss. They're loyal to their commanding officer. They don't get caught up so that they could please their officer, the one who's in charge. And so he says, prepare like a soldier. Then he says, prepare like an athlete. He says, an athlete follows the rules. They can't get the prize unless you follow the rules. Now, I know a lot of you like basketball. Lakers are down right now, but you like basketball. Have you ever seen anyone be allowed to just grab the ball and start running around with a basketball without dribbling? You could dominate the game if you could do that, right? But you got to follow the rules. You got to play by the rules. There are spiritual laws that God has put in place. Spiritual laws. They're just as real as physical laws. One of the physical laws is gravity, right? You better obey the law of gravity or you're going to be in trouble. You go on a building, right? You cannot disobey the law of gravity. Oh, you're going to die if you try to jump off a building. This is not the Matrix, right? So you have to obey. If you're a Christian or not a Christian, the rules apply to you, right? There's spiritual laws too. And the Lord says, we need to prepare by learning how to follow spiritual laws. The things that God has put in place. And then he talks about farmers, and he says, farmers work hard. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort to prepare. It's going to take discipline to prepare. So he gives all these examples, exhorting, encouraging Timothy to prepare. You know, if anything, over these last couple of weeks, for myself, I think for you too, with all the challenges we faced, it's really revealed the condition of your foundation. Hasn't it? It's exposed what you're really standing upon. What are you really relying on? What are you really trusting? You know, 3 weeks ago, Lauren talked about the what are you standing on the rock of Jesus? And he talked about the two men, right? One's the foolish man. He tried to build his house on sand. That's a weak foundation. It shifts. It moves. It's not solid. You know, through this time, I've seen, oh, I'm really putting a lot of trust in this sand. And the Bible says, the Lord says, that's foolish. We need to build our lives, our hope, our future on solid foundation, solid rock, with just Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ himself. You know, we see this. So many people are placing or pinning their hopes on maybe they're okay things or good things, but it's sand in the end. A lot of people are placing their hopes on science. Science, medicine, that'll take care of us. But they don't really know. We've seen that, right? Now, I'm not going to get into it, but they've talked about the vaccine. They came out and said, top scientists, leading scientists said, if you take the vaccine, you're going to be protected, 100% protected. You're going to not transmit, right? And it's going to be lasting. And we see today, wrong, wrong, wrong. You could still get it. A majority of people are getting it that are vaccinated. They're transmitting the virus. And it doesn't last very long. And so, if you feel led to get the vaccine or not, that's your choice. That's between you and the Lord. But the point is, are you pinning your hope on that? Is that where you're putting your hope? Some people pin their hope on their bank accounts, their 401ks, their retirement. You know what I've seen? If the stock market crashes and there are things, our financial system is not sustainable. It's obvious. The global financial system is not sustainable. You know why? Because it's built on borrowing more, borrowing more, borrowing more, more debt, more debt, more debt. How is that sustainable? Common sense, you know yourself. You can't just keep borrowing, 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 borrowing forever. In the end, it's going to crash. And so the financial system, the global financial system, is not stable. In fact, it's very tenuous. At some point, it's going to crash. What's going to happen to all your 401ks that are based on the stock market? What's going to happen to all your bank accounts? What's going to happen to all your retirement accounts? What's going to happen to all your savings that you're banking upon? It could get wiped out like that. Are you putting your trust in that? There's a lot of things in this world that look stable, that look strong. It's just sand. And Jesus says, foolish people build their life on sand. If you're wise, you will build it upon him. Not so much going to church, doing this, giving money, all that. It's Jesus himself. Personal relation. You know Jesus. You talk with Jesus. You hear from Jesus. You walk with Jesus. You consult with Jesus. You receive from Jesus. You are empowered by Jesus. It's Jesus himself, a relationship personal that impacts your daily life because you know him and you walk with him and you talk with him and you depend on him. That's the solid rock. And this year, One of the mandates, one of the things we're going to emphasize is do what you can, do what we can to build us up in our faith. Here are some specific things we're going to do. Number one, we have the cleansing seminar retreat coming up. April, mark your calendars. April 2nd, I don't know if we have this. Do we have the slide for that?
We don't.
Okay. You'll hear it advertised. April 2nd, Saturday, April 2nd, one-day retreat. Pastor Timothy's going to come with his team. And it's just go. Some of you have been in small groups. You've been going through some of the cleansing materials to different degrees. That whole material is to help strengthen your faith. Help strengthen your faith so that you can face difficult things. And so I want to encourage, even if you have not gone through the cleansing material, I talked to Pastor Timothy. He said, you know what? We don't want to limit what God could do. So if you haven't gone through the material, you haven't even heard about it, but you're open to going to the retreat, just one day retreat, then he says, I've seen God do awesome things through people. They just come, God moves, God touches, God sets free, God breaks things in their life. And then they end up doing the materials afterwards to strengthen them in their faith. So cleansing retreat coming up April 2nd, Saturday, April 2nd, 9 to 5. You're going to hear more about that. Secondly, be part of a small group. You cannot live the Christian faith alone. I like the movie Castaway. That's not how to live the Christian life. Alone on an island. God made it so we have to live in community to encourage one another. I think there's at least 5 small groups that have openings in their small groups, all different kinds. Men's group online, women's group online, groups in person, all kinds of groups. So I encourage you to be part of a small group. Dale's going to talk about this in a couple weeks, but to strengthen you. And then finally, Dale's also going to talk about in a couple weeks these things called He Huddles we've started. They're called Transformation Huddles. And this is a group of maybe 2 or 3 people that get together that help hold people accountable. It's very easy. It's all laid out. Only meet for an hour a week or hour every other week. And it's another opportunity for you. And like I said, Dale's going to talk about it in a couple of weeks. But those are some things we are emphasizing to help prepare us, to help strengthen our faith. Second word, first word is prepare. Second word is train. Train. In the past, the Lord gave me a very strong word, a very powerful picture. And it was a picture of our youth and our kids, and they were like going off. And they were going off into battle. The problem was they had no armor on. They were going off into battle with no armor. And that broke my heart. Because when our kids, our youth, are going out into the world, and when I say going out into the world, nowadays, that's going to school. When they're going off into public school, the school system is part of the world system. You could see that. If you just open your eyes and see where schools were 40 years ago, 30 years ago, and what's being taught and the environment at schools today, that's the front lines. Satan, the enemy, has created, that's part of his strategy. He's created that so that that's the front lines. And I don't necessarily mean teachers. There's good teachers. There's awesome teachers out there. There's good administrators. But the whole environment and the culture and the mindset and the influence of other students, their peers, who they are with 5-6 hours every day. And so the word the Lord gave is this. He said, this area of kids and youth and school and their environment, he said, that is one of the primary fronts that you, Catalyst, need to address. You know, I love war films. I love war movies. I just love them. I like them. I like the dynamics of it. Band of Brothers is one of my favorite series. I've watched that many, many times. Like the leadership and sacrifice and, you know, brothers together. That whole thing. I love watching war movies. Well, in war movies, you know, you've seen battle maps, right? Where there's these big arrows, red arrow or blue arrow, and that shows a front. That's a major front offensive where major fighting is going to take place. And you have to commit resources to that front if you're going to hope to win that battle. The Lord showed me a map. He showed me different arrows, a couple of arrows. One of them, he said, that's the kids. That's one of the battlefronts for you as a church. You have to train up and provide different options for the kids. You know, if you're a parent, you have a calling from God on your life. You have a calling from God on your life. And your calling as a parent is to be the primary spiritual discipler mentor for your children. That's your calling as a parent. That you, as a parent, are the primary spiritual mentor for your children. Not Jerry, right, overseeing the youth, not Brett, not the children's Sunday school. They're only here like, what, an hour a week? No, not anyone else. You might think, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to spiritually mentor my children. You better learn. You better learn, because that's your calling from God. That's one of the callings in your life from the Lord, is to be the spiritual, primary spiritual mentor for your children. Here's some verses, Deuteronomy 11, 19. So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. This is the Lord speaking to Moses, through Moses. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. 24/7. Teach your children how to follow the Lord. Psalms 127, 3 through 4. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. And so, if there are arrows in a warrior's hands, we better know how to shoot them in the right way, the proper direction. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the disciplines and instruction that comes from the Lord. Those just are a few of many verses that talk clearly about the calling, the mandate on parents to be the primary spiritual mentors for your children. I don't know how many, some of you know this already, but you know, at one point when our kids were little, we felt committed to homeschool our kids. And Dale just was in the car one day listening to Christian radio, and they were talking about homeschooling. And she just felt like the Lord spoke to her and said, I want you to homeschool your kids. So she came home, we talked about it, and you know, this was when homeschooling wasn't cool. People thought, it was in the 90s, so people thought people that homeschool were weird. We're weird, we're off, we're fanatical. And let me tell you, we got involved in, with different homeschool associations. Some people are like that. They're just like, ooh, you know. Good heart, socially. But we researched it. And my wife, Dale, her dad, passed now, but her dad was a high school teacher. So it's like, oh my gosh, like, what are they going to say? What are people going to say? People would always say things to us like, what about socialization? I don't think they don't even know what they're asking. But what about socialization? But we felt like, no, we feel like the Lord wants us to do this. So pretty much through elementary school, we homeschooled our three kids. It was hard. It was challenging. But we felt we need to own it. We need, and this is the way the Lord called us. Everyone called differently, but for us, we need to own this. We need to be the primary spiritual influence on our children. Not their teachers at school, not church, not anyone else. We need to do it. And the way we felt the Lord leading us to do this was to homeschool them. And it was hard. And we made mistakes. And we didn't know what we were doing. When I look back at some of the ways we were trying to teach them, I'm horrified. I'm like, oh my gosh. Right? But the thing that they got, I believe, they knew we loved them. They grew up in a faith environment. I wouldn't go home and preach at them and give them messages, and we wouldn't have, you know, church service at home. I think the biggest thing I did was pray for them every single night. I would just go, and it was short. I would just pray over them. But it's growing up and being in a secure, for the most part, encouraging. And we made mistakes. It was hard. Every year, Dale would have some kind of physical ailment. She would kind of break down physically. And it was hard. And it was a sacrifice, because to do this, Dale had to stay home from work. And so we only had one income. And so we lived in an apartment, and we lived in a townhouse. Our house is smaller than probably if both of us worked. We made sacrifices. On vacation, we didn't take a lot of vacations. Our vacation was going to visit grandpa and grandma in Sacramento, right? We made sacrifices. But let me tell you, as a family, for our kids, hands down, best decision we've ever made. I would do it again in a second. And today, my kids went through stuff, but today I feel so blessed by my three kids. Parents, it's on us. We're the primary mentors of our children. We have to step into that. And as a church, we want to be committed to coming alongside. Because you know that whole phrase, it takes a village. It does. In these day and age, you know, and I experienced this. We went on vacation with Lauren and Mindy and Hudson and all of us. We went on a vacation. And during that vacation, it was cool because, you know, the grandparents could watch Hudson while the parents, you know, Lauren and Mindy had to do things and da-da-da-da. And then I got this little picture. You know, the Jewish communities, when in the New Testament times, they would live in these communities where the generations would live together. And I thought, you know what? There's something important about that. Because, you know, parents went off to work, so grandparents helped watch the kids. And then there's this whole, you have this whole network community where you help raising the children, supporting each other. Many people don't have that today because you live hundreds, even thousands of miles away from parents, your parents passed away, all these things going on. But the church can help be like that. You know, we have resources. If you're a parent and you have not taken LOCOP, you need to take LOCOP. That's a resource. That's helping you fulfill your calling from the Lord as a parent. Take Kylo, helps you in relationships. You could be the strongest prayer person, and that's awesome, but if you're the strongest prayer person, but you do not know how to communicate, your family is going to suffer for it. You need to learn. We need to learn vertical, horizontal. You need to learn how to communicate, right? How to express feelings with each other. How to connect hearts with others. How to connect hearts with your children. There's a coffee night coming up. And this is an untapped resource. I want to encourage you. We have awesome older adults here that have been through it, that can help serve as your mentors. Doesn't mean you have to commit to meeting with them, but you could go to them and say, hey, how did you do this? Or, hey, I see your kids. What did you do? What was the most important things you did? And there's resources of adults in our church family that have been through it, who you could glean from, who you could learn from. And so that's one of the words, train, and it's specifically train the kids. Don't let them go into the world without any armor on, because they're getting beat up and torn up and messed up. And one of the things, we're committed to trying as best we can by this summer to provide you as parents with options for the education of your children. We want to provide not only, at the very least, information, but we're looking to even more. You know, for those at homeschool, or recommendations and talk here about private school, or how to navigate public school. Whatever choice you make for your family and your children, public school, private school, homeschool, whatever else, we want to provide resources, and more than even resources, for you. Because this is serious. This is very serious. It's our future, it's our kids, it's their life and their health and their spiritual life. And so second word, train. First word, prepare. Second word, train. Last word, outreach. Outreach. God wants us to reach people. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. 2 Peter 3:19, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Last week I talked about watching The Chosen and different things the Lord was doing, and how the Lord was supernaturally, I believe, giving me revelation, opening my eyes to Jesus, meeting Jesus and seeing Jesus and interacting with Jesus in a way I hadn't before, and seeing aspects of him that I didn't realize. And the result of that was that I was like, my heart was just like, oh my gosh, Jesus is so much kinder than I thought he was. Jesus is so much more patient than I ever imagined and thought. Jesus is so much more compassionate. Jesus is stronger. Jesus carries so much more peace than I ever imagined. And I tasted that, and I touched that. And after that, I was like, people need Jesus. Jesus can help people. Jesus himself can change people's life. And we're just barely scratching the surface on how awesome and amazing and good and powerful and transformative and loving Jesus is. You know, I was going to show a video, but we were having technical difficulties. Okay. All right. Let's try it. This video,
I really hate to do this.
This guy went into the store to rob it.
The money in the register.
Can I have
my
money
just open? No way you don't have
money in your register,
honey. Don't get scared.
I'm not. Okay.
Nice and calm.
You know what? I know you can do whatever you want, honey. I'm just going to talk with you about the Jesus I have.
The what?
The Jesus I got.
God bless you for that.
I'm Christian and...
So am I, and I absolutely hate doing this.
I know.
I do. I'm embarrassed.
I was born
to do
in
this
church,
and I had no choice.
And that had never happened with me before. And you know what? You're young. You have beautiful eyes. You don't need...
Talk about making it harder.
You know, you don't need... Jesus got something way better for you. For everyone that's out there. I'm not blaming you, I'm not judging, I don't know what you were going through, but all of us are going through a hard time right now. A very hard time right now.
That's why I refuse to do anything to anybody out in the streets. I've never done this before.
You know, Jesus, he has
a beautiful
city in heaven.
Oh,
you know, I know you have a gun. You
go to Calvary Chapel.
If you
want to
come in, I'm never and ever and ever.
I go to Calvary Chapel.
See, I've gone there too. I love Pastor Bob.
Pastor Bob. The Latin one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
Every
so sorry
day I pray to God to protect us and to protect people on the streets that maybe, I don't know if you have a family, I don't know what happened.
That's why I'm doing this.
I can try to help you try to find a job. I have a lot of friends
I
in
have
church.
A job.
You do?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Because I'm going to be evicted if I don't come up with $300.
You don't have a friend
I'm
that
so
can
sorry
help
to
you.
Do this to you.
You don't have a friend that could borrow you the money, that could let you borrow the money?
I've spent the last 3 days trying to do that.
Oh, God.
Look, I know that you'll have to call the police. I know that you have to do what you have to do. There's no money in the register. Can you show me?
That's all we have. I don't
you don't own the store.
I'm the manager. I'm the one that takes care of it. Anything that misses.
Then I wouldn't be hurting you. I'm sorry. I have to take at least that. I'm sorry.
They will charge me for it.
They'll charge you for it?
Everything.
I don't want to do that to you. I'm sorry.
Everything.
I'm sorry. I understand if you still have to call the police.
You know, you don't need to do that.
You
know Jesus. He can help you.
God bless you.
Jesus helps you. He can change your life.
That woman knew Jesus, and she knew whatever that guy was going through, Jesus could help him. Jesus could make a difference. Jesus could take something that's impossible or seemingly hopeless, and he could work, and he could move, because she knew Jesus. He is her friend. He knew what he can do. These days, today, people are hurting. People are hurting and they're desperate for community. They want hope. And they need help. We know someone that could help them, that could save them, that wants to make a difference in their lives. And so one of the things we're going to do for outreach is, as Lauren mentioned, next month, February, we're going to change the multi-generational service to the first Sunday of the month. And then starting in March, the first Sunday in March, we're going to make every first Sunday, every multi-generational service, an outreach service. And part of that is the church is going to provide lunch every outreach service. And some people have asked, well, we don't want the church to provide it. Can we contribute with it? And our attitude is, no. We want it to be like hospitality. Come. Invite people. Come. Come. Get spiritual food and get physical food too. And we want the atmosphere to be like a family, right? How many of you invite a guest to your home and say, okay, if you want to donate for the food here, here's a little box you can donate. Say, how rude. That's why we felt like we want to make a commitment as a church, because this is enabling and helping all of us to invite people, extra incentive to invite people, because people come out for food. Our biggest attendance Sunday every month is when we have food. And we might have on some of those days events too. Events, so it's like we had the Harvest Carnival thing. But we're doing this so that it makes it easier for you to invite people. Hey, come on out to church, and hey, we have the awesome luncheon, and people are hungry, starving for community. And I think we have a very welcoming, loving community here. We have awesome people here at our church. And so that's one of our commitments. We're also doing a few other things. The podcast we're starting just so people know what God's doing in our church and other things, but that's one of the things. So prepare, train the kids and the youth, raise them up, and outreach. Those are three things we're emphasizing this year. Those are three things. So it's PTO, prepare, train, outreach. There's one thing I've been doing with, once in a while with my grandson. I talk about him a lot, love my grandson, but Hudson. But we've done this thing where he's waiting, and then someone's holding him, and then like Dale will be on that side, and then we want him to run, right? So it's like, and then I say, Hudson, go, 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 go. He's like, and he started running, go, go, go. Catalyst, this year, 2022, PTO, go, 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 go. We're gonna go. We're gonna go this year. Strengthen you in your faith, raise up the kids, and outreach. Because people are desperate for God's love. Let's bow forward in prayer. Jesus, you're awesome. You are amazing. I pray, Lord, as we come to before you to worship you, Holy Spirit, would you manifest the person, the very person of Jesus in our midst? And would you show your face, not just your face, your eyes, God? Jesus, would you reveal your eyes, your look, the compassion, the love, the belief you have in your heart, in your eyes, in your look, for each and every person. May they see your face today. And may you reveal more of who you are to us, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us. We want to follow you. We want to ride the wave of what you're doing, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we want to come along with you. And Lord, so help us this year to strengthen our faith. Get into your word, Lord, to help raise up and protect and come alongside and support parents as they build up their children to be strong in faith and well-equipped and share your love with a world and people and friends and family that desperately need. So thank you, Lord. We just want to bless you now with our worship in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just wanted to say, too, as we're moving into this worship time, it's a really good, challenging word from Pastor Barry for our church family. And I don't know if it feels hard for you to think about doing those things. But let's remember that we are well-loved people, that God's covering is over us, that he is more than willing to fill us up to overflowing so that we're not just powering through our own weariness or our own thoughts or any fears or any what will people think things, that he's providing the grace for everything that we need, that we don't have to make things work. He's making things work, and we need to say yes. So I just wanted to share that as we move into this worship time.